All right. A wonderful time together. Time for reflection. A time for renewal. Time for reviving. A time for blending. Putting together what the Lord is doing on the earth today. What the Lord is doing on the earth today is marvelous. We really are a blessed people. We're here by the Lord's great grace. And we're not here in some kind of a religious capacity, and we're not here in some kind of spiritual capacity, if you understand the word spiritual as I'm using it. We're here to be blended into one new man. Amen. One expression on the earth today. What I've been asked to do is give a summary. And, of course, that's an impossible task. How can you summarize this kind of conference, this kind of fellowship? So what I feel to do is just open my being up and fellowship something concerning my understanding and my experience of practically entering into these kinds of things. I don't know where it will go. I'm not really clear what it is that I'm doing here. The brothers have carved out some time. That means something. If you have time, it means the Lord put it there. Then he expects you to do something with it. So here we are. The first thing I'd like to share is related to the matter of loving his appearing. You know, to love his appearing is not an effort. To love his appearing is an experience. It's a result of spending time with him, opening your being up to him. In the book of 1 John, there's a word concerning, right at the end of the book, there's a word concerning the situation we're living in. And that is, we know that the whole world lies in the evil one, or the pernicious one. And then followed by, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. This is the true God and eternal life. So here is the contrast. On the one hand, this whole world lies in the wicked one, in the evil one. We see it all around us every day. We see the situation. And it's always easy for us to get drawn into that situation, fighting with those who are dividing. We want to put a stop to this kind of nonsense. But when you enter into it in that way, your whole being is already usurped. You already are caught. You already are bought by the enemy's operation. It's really important for us to realize the whole world is in the wicked one. So forget about it. And turn rather to, we know that the Son of God has come. Saints, this is crucial. We know why we're here. We know what we're doing here. The Son of God has come. Hallelujah. Amen. That Son of God is now in me, Amen. In you. Amen. You are in him. Amen. Don't get yourself caught in anything else. Nothing else matters. This whole world is evil, wicked, because of the source of the one who has brought in an organized chaos. His whole being is focused on divide, separate, destroy, put down. That's what he's doing. Don't get caught in trying to correct him. He already is defeated. So in the last message, I felt so encouraged by that word. We fight from the victory of Christ. We're not fighting to victory. We're fighting from victory. And we're fighting not to try to change the course of this age. We know this age will end in absolute chaos. We know Armageddon will come. You know, if you consider Armageddon, it's mind-boggling. The word says that the blood will rise to the level of the horse's bridle. You cannot imagine such a thing. It says it will take months for the birds of prey to just eat up the flesh that will be destroyed there. That will be an absolute chaotic destruction. But we are not a part of that, except that we are the bride with the bridegroom, putting that whole thing into operation and bringing in the kingdom of God. So don't focus your attention on trying to change this age. It won't change. It will become more destructive. So we focus on, we know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we might know him who is true. So if we know him who is true, we will love him who is true. Because knowing him is loving him. If you have the opportunity to be together with him and spend time with him, you will spontaneously love him. Don't let yourself be robbed of that by your busyness, by your involvement in this age, by trying to turn the situation. I use that several times, saints, because I believe that we are in a battle to gain our mind and become so concerned about the situation. You know, we have kids. We're seeing what they're facing. We're being torn apart many times inwardly because this situation is so dark. But what the Word has told us is there's a lamp shining in a dark place. So don't get yourself caught in this darkness. Rather, enjoy the lamp. Let the light shine. Give the Lord the opportunity. Now I'm going to come back to something that was shared yesterday related to the young people, the children. And that is a matter of spending time with them. Really, saints, grasp every opportunity. Don't let any opportunity escape you. When you have a situation arise related to discipline in the family, use that as an opportunity. First of all, for the Lord to deal with you, because the situation is there, first of all, for you. The Lord wants to gain us. He wants to get through in us. So our children often are a sacrifice for our sake. Many times I've prayed, Lord, have mercy on my children. Don't take too much opportunity to gain me. Watch out for them. But he is very active to gain us. So every situation, no matter how negative it looks, is an opportunity to just let him gain you. And at the same time, he will gain your family. He will gain something so precious. Spend time to just stop everything and open to the Lord. Let him have opportunity in you. Okay, then that will bring us into more and more loving the Lord and loving his appearing. Okay, the second thing that I would fellowship about is the matter of the taking heed to the word. Look at international speaking conference with the general subject, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. And the first thing it says is, in order to make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming, we need to love the Lord Jesus. So we've fellowshipped about that. As a part of that, we need to take him as our life. We need to live him, magnify him, await his coming. Saints, that word await his coming several times is translated in the Recovery Version as eagerly await his coming. It has a sense, the word that's being used, and for example, Philippians 3:20, has a sense of an eager awaiting. It's a sense that you really expect his coming. You're looking for his coming. You're anticipating his coming. You're longing for his coming. Or as Peter said, you're hastening. We're hastening the day. We want to see the Lord come. So awaiting his coming, then we love his appearing, and this should be our heart's desire and our living. All right, then in the second point, the second statement, in order to make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming, we must give heed to the prophetic word as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and Christ as the morning star secretly arises and appears in our hearts. This is the intimate fellowship with the Lord. And whenever I touch this during this particular time, I was reminded again and again of the word to Joshua in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This book of the law, that is the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. But you shall muse upon it day and night, day and night. You know, we know the word in the psalmist said his anticipation was really cutting into his sleep. He was anticipating time with the Lord, time in the Word. That we need to have that kind of just spending the time. This book of the law, not depart from your mouth. You just muse on it day and night. And in this way, you'll be certain to do according to all that is written in it. So you're not taking it in with a view to trying to do it. You're just taking it in, and you will be certain to do it, because it's operating in you. It's moving in you. Don't let the Bible become a kind of addition to your living. The Bible is the center. I remember Brother Lee's fellowship, or the fellowship that was given us concerning Brother Lee, when the doctor was concerned about his capacity to understand what was going on. And the doctor asked him, and this is right, of course, before his passing. The doctor asked him, "What do you love in the world?" And his response was, "The Lord Jesus." Well, that's wonderful. But then he said, "No, wait, it's the Bible." Now, why did he change? Because the Bible is that present item in our living that connects us with everything that He is and everything that we are. The Bible is the center. The Bible is absolute. Every word of the Bible, every word of the Bible is accurate. This whole world is focused on debunking or trying to destroy the place of the Bible in the society, in you, personally. Everything is focused on doing the best to destroy the Bible. Peter's word, take heed to the prophetic word. And when Brother Lee was talking along these lines, he pointed out there are three aspects to the word. The first aspect, it is the written word. The second aspect, it is the living word. And the third aspect, it becomes the applied word. And what he's talking about here is as we read the Bible, we don't read it with our mind, the curiosity of our mind. We read it with a deep sense within of contacting the living God. We want this word to become living in us. So as we read it, we're praying over it. We're just praying over it. We're praying this word back to Him. We're musing upon it, which means talking to yourself often about that word. We're spending the time in that word. Let that word really shine in you. The word of God is the most precious item we have on the earth. It is the particular gift of God to us. But it must become a living word in us. And that living word is Christ. Christ Himself begins to speak to us as we open to that word. We come to Him. We spend time with Him. And then He, even as the Spirit, applies that word to us. That word becomes now not only living in us, it becomes now active, directing, arising in us, doing in us what we have no capacity to do. If we spend our time in the Bible with our thinking, we will lose everything. But if we spend our time in our praying, our fellowshipping, we will gain the living God. And He will gain us, apply in us. All right. The third point, in order to make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming, we need to enjoy Him as our spiritual food so that we can feed others. We can enjoy Him when we receive His word by means of all prayer and when we muse on His word, which is to taste and enjoy the word with much reconsideration. If you take that word, that is what we've been fellowshipping, but you also realize that there is the opposition to that word. And there's a need for us to learn how to not be caught in this present evil age. Don't be usurped by this age. In other words, we do need a recognition that the whole world lies in the evil one. But the way in which that can happen has so much to do with the applied word in us. In other words, we may read something concerning the matter of forgiving one another. Just as an aside, I remember a young man who was offended in a training situation who talked to me one day, and he said he went to the brothers, and the brothers didn't change the situation. They just told him, do your best to turn to the Lord and open to the Lord. And then he went to another group of brothers, and they gave him the same fellowship. And then he went to a third group of brothers, and they repeated the same fellowship. And then he said, I will never forgive them. And then he said, I will accuse them before the throne. And if the Lord doesn't deal with it, I'll accuse him. That is a person who is really usurped. By allowing the emotion to control his being, he has just allowed his being to become divorced from the Lord's purpose. There's a need for us to learn. I think here the most help in my experience has been from Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at that together. Colossians chapter 3. And we know the portion here that starts out by, in the first verse, starts out by opening up this matter. Raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. That's a part of what we've been fellowshipping. And then put to death, verse 5, members of on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, the greediness, which is idolatry. And then he goes on to point out that we have put on the new man, which is being renewed. We have put on. And that new man is being renewed. We're not putting him on in this sense. We have put on. And where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all in all. Now, here is where I feel a big help in terms of how we adjust day by day. And that is, put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. First of all, who are you? You are God's chosen. And you are holy. And you are beloved. Think about it. Who are you? God's chosen. Holy. Beloved. Many times we are so discouraged with ourselves. And I remember one time I was complaining to the Lord about my condition, and the Lord said, so I died for that. So what are you considering? Another time he said to me, I don't know what you're bothered about. I never expect anything out of you. So, you know, I mean, he's really so gracious with us, encouraging us, strengthening us to go on when we just keep opening to him. Even if it is with the self in the center, if we're really opening, he comes through, speaks to us. Well, here you are God's chosen, holy, beloved. Put on inward parts of compassion, kindness. This can go to your family. This can go to the fellow believers. This can go to the neighbors. This can go to your fellow worker. Everything here is put on kindness. Just be a human being who is mindful of others. Put on kindness. Put on lowliness. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Bearing one another. Forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. And over all these things, put on love, which is the uniting bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Don't those verses cover so much of what we've touched during this weekend? It just opens this view that we are a new creation here. We are not that old thing trying to become new. We are the new creation living on this earth today. And the way of living is just enjoying him, enjoying what he is to us, enjoying what he has accomplished, enjoying his personal operation within us. And then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, which we've had a lot of fellowship about already. I would encourage you, when you're faced with a thing in your family, to read these verses and pray over them. Just come and spend some time with the Lord in those verses. Let him comfort you, encourage you. Let him shine on you. Let him turn you. Just give him the ground. Allow him to be God. I was on a particular trip, some of you have heard me share this before, where I was just before leaving on the trip, I had a time with a brother in which we were, I couldn't really say we were fellowshipping. We were discussing a situation. And he told me, I'll never do that. I'll never pay attention to what you're talking about. So I let it go. You know, what are you going to do? Amen. And then when I was on the trip, I got a particular portion of the ministry that just was a perfect word for that brother. And I really, you know, I began to have this feeling, when I get back, I'll just share this with a brother. And then the Lord spoke to me very clearly, why don't you let me be God? Many, many times we are trying to adjust and turn others the way we think they should go. And maybe we're right, but it has absolute zero spirit in it. It is just you applying what you think and trying your best to bring people into God as you understand him. But we need to bring people to God, period. Just encourage them. Just show a little kindness. Just show a little care. Just be a God-man. And in that statement, I'm emphasizing man. Just be a God-man. Don't try to be more than you are. Just be who you are, and the Lord will have a way to do what he wants to do, to be who he is. Well, these are just events within my life that have had an impact that I think very much reflect on this kind of fellowship. Then there's the matter of shepherding. Of course, the daily revival is spending time with the Lord, opening to the Lord. And then the shepherding, the care. Brother Lee, in more than one occasion, said that something along the lines that it's worthwhile to spend 3 years to gain one person. Just care for people and just keep caring for people, just reaching out to them. If they're responding in any positive way at all, amen. Just keep reaching out. It may look like they're never going to get anywhere, and maybe they won't, but you just care for them. Just take care of them. There was one brother that came to a meeting in Sacramento at one point, and he was an African American, and he came up to me after the meeting and he said, "Can I borrow $20? I've got a meeting tomorrow to begin work in Auburn, which is 20 minutes away, half an hour away." And he said, "I don't have gas money to get there." And I said, "No, I'm sorry. I don't loan anything, but I'll be happy to give it to you. And you can repay if you want to by giving an offering." And then he did get that job, and he did still live next door to the meeting place, so I just started visiting with another brother. And we visited, it was about a total of 3 years. And he never came to the meetings, but he always received us into his home. And he was just, well, he told me later, he wondered why this white guy keeps coming. But he never closed the door. And then he moved from that spot to a place 3-4 miles away, and we followed him. We just still kept fellowshipping, kept going there. And then one day he moved back really close to the meeting hall and became a member in the body of Christ. And then he had a complaint concerning his work situation, in which he was really discriminated against, and it was clear. And he did feel to present it to the labor relations or one of those institutions. And then he called me one day, and he said, "You remember that $20 that you gave me?" He said, "I just got an award for $75,000 from this, and I gave my tithe." He said, "That was a pretty good investment." So he never forgot that instant. But we need to be those who are always just caring for the Lord's interests and just pursuing every available opportunity. If the Lord opens doors, praise the Lord, let's use them. Don't try to break the door down. It doesn't work. Just take care of the open doors. Just pray for the open doors. If a person doesn't receive, praise the Lord, there's still more out there. There's still more who can receive. So, and who will receive. As we fellowshiped during this conference, the doors are opening more and more because the situation is so dark, people realize, I need light. I need help. This situation, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to be. There are a lot of the young people, we were told, one out of two, who are opening themselves to be shepherded. What a time we live in, saints. This time we need to be praying very, very much related to the young people. We want to see now a group of young people who are raised up, who are absolute for the Lord's purpose. The Lord wants to come back. We want him to come back. He needs a bride prepared, and that includes a very substantial portion of young people. People right now who are struggling with this situation. Pray for these. Look for every opportunity. Grant to them the sweetness of this wonderful Christ. Give them that. They are raised up by God for this time. Well, since those are the basic things that I'm impressed with, I would just say this concerning Peter's fellowship. I think is so precious. He opens it, first of all, with saying that the Lord has granted to us a portion, and that is faith, so that we're able now to enter into the divine reality. And then he talks about how that faith is developed. And then he talks about the matter of what the apostles had shared. He said, we didn't share with you some kind of a fable, some kind of cleverly devised fable. And we didn't share with you some kind of myth. We shared with you what we witnessed. We were there with him on the holy mountain. We were there when his whole being was transfigured. We were there. We saw the glory of God shining not only in his face, but even his garments. And we heard the voice out of the heavens. This is my beloved. Peter was so clear in that word. The Apostle John had the same kind of fellowship. You begin 1 John chapter 1, you just see that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, our hands have handled, we've looked upon. This is what we're declaring to you. It's like John and Peter were both just putting their arm around your shoulder and saying, this is what we're talking about. This is that which was from the beginning. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we were made for. This is who we are. Don't let the philosophy of this world slow you down for a minute. Move ahead with him. Believe him. Pray. Don't pray in hope. Pray in faith. Exercise. Stand one with him. Know that he is God. Know that he is in you. Know that you are a member of him. Know who you are. Saints, this is the deep sense within me as we've entered into these things just little by little, that here we are in the midst of a wicked and perverted generation. We are the lamps that shine, the luminaries in this dark age. Just be that. Don't try to do anything great. Don't try to be great. Don't try to be more than what the Lord dispenses. Just let him be God and join with him in what he's doing. Well, I hope this may be a little bit of encouragement to you. Together we go on. Together we do bring him back. Together we see the light, the lamp shining in a dark place. Together we have the morning star rising. And together we have the day dawning. Oh, that just reminds me of one thing. When it says that that day will bring in the reward, and we will be those who rule together with him, he's not talking about some kind of a hierarchical scheme in which, you know, he's going to divide up his kingdom among all the believers so that they can all have their little piece of pie. You know, he's talking about the new creation as an organic one entity who are seated on the throne, not as a lot of individuals, but the one new man. And that should just ring within our being. If you think about it in terms of your little piece of the pie, it's not that exciting. But if you realize he's doing a marvelous work in the universe and you're a part of it, wow. What a mercy. We are here in him. How about we just pray two by two? Amen.